This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking Alec Murdaugh, obviously. It's kind of the big thing at the moment. Today we're talking with Mark Pucci about the case, getting his insights. He's a retired New York City police detective and founder and CEO of the National Institute for Law and Justice. Let's just start here. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think about Alec Murdaugh's testimony in the last week?
Self-deprecation is a tried and true, strategy. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to do is give this guy any kind of, positive, props or anything. But when you look at someone who, spent decades as a successful defense attorney, who probably literally spent thousands of hours coaching his own clients on these strategies of, visible demeanor, tone of voice, when to make eye contact, when not to make eye contact, facial expressions, body posturing, visible emotions, and just the choice for him to testify, in his own quote unquote defense, is always like a 99% to 1% chance that you're gonna, harpoon yourself. But with someone, which now after watching him with his level of expertise, and I would say like the understanding of, say the juror's, psyche.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable to watch. I mean, of course, there's always human error. He made some, probably miscalculations. But at the end of the day, he just needs to sway or cause a doubt in one juror. That's it.
Sure. Is that what you think he was? That was the goal here. It wasn't let's go all out and sway them all to innocent, but just let's get to one of them.
Well, I mean, ultimately, you always want to go for the grand slam, but he really just needs a single.
True.
To use a baseball analogy, in the review of the discovery, so he's not just a defendant who's relying on his attorney to translate the discovery and create a strategy. He's literally reviewing discovery as he's done thousands and thousands of time through multiple decades of a career, doing this, for a living. So he's both the attorney and the defendant at the same time, and then having a peer defendant with him. I would even venture to say there's a possibility that he may have even come across this prosecutor as an opponent. Mm-hmm. in his practice. There's absolutely probably social media, YouTube, or, other maybe, closed circuit, court recordings. Yeah. Where he could have even reviewed this prosecutor's methodologies. He absolutely knew what strategy they were going to use, probably the line and methodology of questioning, what timbre, is good for him. Is he a heavy handed, brute kind of guy? Is he more of a sarcastic or more divisive, where he's trying to, ask you the same question four different ways and then catch you, in a lie when you contradict yourself? So, he was privy to all this before going in, like game planning.
That's scary to think about, but you're probably exactly right as far as how he developed his strategy on how to play this in court, because it was almost spooky. You could tell Waters was getting frustrated up there. You could tell, I kind of enjoyed his little offhanded comments of like, sure, you did yeah. it, whatever. But it's like, yeah. But at the same point, that's still like something where that's an authentic reply. Like this guy, he thinks he's going to go in for a kill. And every time Alec's like, well, I don't know, Papa and Mama and Billy Bean exactly. down the road. They made a nice cherry pie. Let me tell you about the cherry pie that she made. Like, that's not relevant. No, the cherry pie is relevant. I'm going to talk about the cherry pie. You know, it was like just.
Yes.
And why did Waters not shut him down when he was going off on these tangents about the most random shit that had nothing to do with the case? Obviously, he was working in Murdaugh's favor because he's just trying to come across as down home and folksy, and it had nothing to do with things. How did the why? I don't know. So many of us, I think, we're just shaking our heads and cringing, like, shut him up.
Yes. So, and my response to that would be, so as a prosecutor, you know, even in a normal case where you have a non-professional, you know, say, quote unquote, defendant, you know, who's almost anticipating and, you know, and counterpunching and then maybe even trying to lead you down a road so that he can, you know, double back on you. It's already a tightrope in any, you know, prosecution. The prosecutor is walking a very, very, very fine tightrope in not appearing to be, you know, abusive, you know, or too forceful, and then creating pity for the defendant. You know, and then here, as you just stated, you know, Murtaugh is literally, you know, just playing his best, you know, Southern gentleman, you know, yes, ma'am, and no, sir. And, you know, the whole time. And fortunately or unfortunately, you know, as you said, I'm sitting there scratching my head and saying, I hate to say this, but I think he's edging him out. You know, and as you said, the little quips and everything were definitely a sign of his frustration. But at the same time, you know, being a skilled prosecutor where he's reining himself in or, you know, biting his lip and not, you know, allowing himself to, you know, completely have an outburst because he realizes that he could very, very easily walking that tightrope be the bad guy and even, you know, elevate, you know, Murtaugh's, you know, alleged, you know, Southern gentleman to a whole nother level with the jury.
Yeah. I mean, that does make total sense as far as not trying to be come across as the bully, if you will.
Yes.
How do you think it played to the jury where Alec came out and made all of the admissions of lying about this and that and the other thing and that other thing too? But this one thing was the thing he didn't lie about. Is that believable? I mean, we got a lot of context now on Alec Murtaugh for this jury, well beyond things that are involving this specific case. Is that approach going to help or hurt him?
So I think ultimately, and again, you know, just speculating on the strategy, you know, creating, you know, where he appears to be contrite, he's repentant, you know, but yet taking responsibility, you know, saying, you know, and then just to digress for 1 second, you know, in the where the prosecutor, I believe, kind of played in to him because he kept saying, well, you know, I don't really agree 100% with your statement. So then at some point, the prosecutor just started listing the names of everybody that he had already admitted that he defrauded and saying, so did you lie to Joe?
Yep.
Yes, I lied to Joe. Did you lie to Bob? Yes. What about Mary? Well, no, you know what? In honesty, I did steal her money, but we never spoke on the phone and we didn't have any meetings. So I actually didn't lie to her, you know. So
yes,
you know, so it was amazing just to hear, and you just wanted to say, please just stop asking him these questions to specific individuals, you know, because you're actually assisting him in creating, you know, again, aiming just at one possible juror to say, you know what, I feel sorry for him. It's not even, I think, a case of saying that, you know, he's not guilty of you know, whether it's the financial crimes or the murder of his son and his wife, but you're just creating just that little, you know, pocket of pity where, you know, it could sway somebody who's more motivated by emotion than, let's say, black and white logic.
And there was reports of some of the jurors, two of them crying when Alec was giving his testimony. And that could speak to two different things, I think. I don't necessarily think it means pity for Alec, but I think it could just mean pity for the situation. You heard a horrific story of lives that were ended too soon. You see the other brother that's out there. I mean, he's got his own line of shit too. But it's just, as a human being, I could see being, you know, just upset of the testimony of what was coming out, you know, or that could be, you know, they really believe that Alec is telling his truth, if you will.
Yes. No, I agree 100%. Yeah. It could be just the sheer raw emotional content that, you know, individuals who, you know, have never experienced anything like this in their life now being thrown into this jury, you know, are hearing, and it could be, you know, completely overwhelming as well. And, you know, another interesting point where now he's, you know, kind of recanted that he wasn't at the scene just prior with this audio that, you know, I guess Paul's phone caught with him.
Yeah.
I believe that is a total, again, you know, in preparation, reviewing all the discovery, I would venture to say that's a calculated risk, in that there's way too many people that the prosecution could call in, including, you know, voice recognition experts, you know, digital technicians, where they can match, you know, the actual, you know, like, you know, audio waves and everything with the same timbre as his voice, where that's something where that could totally dismantle this self-deprecation masterpiece that he was crafting, because that would cause the jury to say, well, you know what, I believe that is him. Now I don't believe or have sympathy for anything that he may have won me over the last 3 days. So I think it's dangerous, but it's a calculated risk, where I think that his defense team and himself both all thought that, you know what, we have a very good chance of losing this argument. So we still have quote unquote plausible deniability, that you didn't leave right after that, and you still weren't present, because that's what really needs to be proved, that he was present at that moment, or the moments that those two, you know, shootings happened. But I just really believe that was a calculated risk of, you know what, we're going to have to admit to this too, because we have more of a percentage that we're going to lose this argument. So yeah, Let's just, you know, take it in stride right now, and then still, you know, hopefully maintain the plausible deniability that we left immediately after that.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We got more to come with Mark in just a bit, so be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss that part of the conversation. It's coming at you shortly. You can get a commercial-free experience of the show when you sign up through Apple Podcasts, by the way. You can even try it for 3 days free. Check that out. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.